This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Prop Points right here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. FantasyPoints.com. The program is always being produced wonderfully by Mr. Michael Cohen. And as always, this show is brought to you by Better. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Download Better or visit better.app now and sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit necessary. Also, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your pods. Well, it is an early week PM hang here. Hopefully wasting some corporate time out there on lunch breaks and the like. We will recap Monday Night Football, two games, solid night again. I think week one was bad. Week two, rock solid, wasn't unbelievable, but we came very, very close, by the way, to going 4-1. We did lose one, barely, the Ibuka prop. We'll talk about it. Buy low, sell high. Let's go and look into the trade marketplace. We're out there doing business this time of the year. And while I thought, by the way, the waiver wire was going to be great this year, I think I was incorrect. It's going to be good. It'll be active as usual. There'll be plenty of options. But in terms of like real needle movers, I don't know. It's picky. You got to be picky. It's slim pickings is what I was trying to say there. So I think the best way to improve your team these days, the trade marketplace. It's why we, you know, draft backup tight ends, or at least that's why I do it, because if that guy hits, now you can trade away your starter. So we'll take a look at, there's a lot of them, some buy low, sell high guys. You know, nothing earth shattering in terms of my reasons why, but a lot of it about schedule, a lot of it about matchups, a lot of it about vibes. Always have good vibes on a Tuesday when Stephen O'Rourke pops in from Fantasy Points Data. He's got an early look at some data, actionable data points for week number 3. Stephen absolutely crushing it last week, giving love to Matt Stafford, who was brilliant. And Davante Adams looked great, and Puka is Puka, which is a good thing. He's available, and he had that 45-yard touchdown run, which is ridiculous. But we will also wrap up the program, as we always do on a Tuesday, with my look at your early waiver wire. It's not bad, but the number of needle movers, I don't know. It's a little underwhelming. Speaking of underwhelming, football last night, a little underwhelming. The games weren't that great. Let's be honest. Thank God for fake football and leisurely gaming activity sometimes with these games. Let's start with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This was at least exciting at the end. They get it done 20-19. Baker Mayfield had a better game than I thought he would. So he was dealing. Got to give him credit. We talked about Mike Evans yesterday, drawing the Derek Stingley shadow, basically. And, you know, Mike had a good game. I think he went over his prop number. I'm not sure. 5 for 56, though, wasn't a great day at the office in general when you're looking at a sub-50% catch rate. I mean, Stingley was balling. I mean, Evans got him, I think, once on the 22-yarder, but Stingley was all over Big Mike. And that is why I pivoted on over to Sterling Shepard. People are like, what? Sterling Shepard? Well, we easily won that prop, and we came this close to hitting the Monday Night Special in this game, which was, in fact, Sterling Shepard 40 yards or more, and he got 34. But, hey, caught all four of his targets, second leading receiver on the team. It's a good call. It didn't work out. Amika Ibuka, also a good call. Didn't work out. 7 targets. Active, he scored, thought he would do a little bit better. If he catches the ball at the end of the game last night, we win everything on Ibuka. So that was a little unfortunate. How about Bucky Irving? We hit that prop as well. Not by a lot, but man, he looked great. 4.2 yards a carry. He was rocking him early on. It's the greatest feeling in the world because I like Irving. Obviously, he's on the list. But it's such a great feeling when you back a guy a running back, any position really, but especially a running back. And he just comes out and he's slicing through the defense like a hot knife through butter. It's beautiful, quite frankly. And that was Bucky Irving. But I will mention my guy, Rashad White. I know Rashad a little bit. I loved him at the Senior Bowl, set up an interview with him. One of my favorite players of all time. One of the least entitled dudes you'll ever meet. And I said all summer, and people are like, who cares about Rashad White? And I'm like, I get it. Bucky's the man, but you need two running backs to get through a season here. Let's be realistic here. Bucky is not a big dude. And if Bucky goes down, you're talking league winner here. And I said all summer, in the final year of his deal, the least entitled dude in the world, willing to work his butt off. He once paid his way through JUCO, okay? That's how into it this guy is to play football. And lo and behold, it wasn't good in week one. He didn't get the opportunities, but my man was bringing it last night. That was the best he's ever run the football in the NFL, making unblocked guys miss. 6.5 yards a pop. They give him the goal line carry. They always love Rashad White. Same reason I love Rashad White. He is a great dude and a guy you really want to root for. So I'm just throwing it out there. If I had Bucky Irving, oh, I told our producer, Michael Cohen, like, dude, bruh, you better go out and get Rashad White. Maybe not this week because he scored, but maybe someone will drop him in a week or two or get him in a trade, like a throw-in deal. Over for the Houston Texans, this offense is just not any good. We did hit the C.J. Stroud prop. I said yesterday it was bad odds, and I don't throw out bad odds unless it's like a lock. And it was. It was easy. Easy peasy, baby. 4 carries for 27. I think I'm just going to take this every week until I lose, because I think I'm like 6-0 because their O-line stinks. Their offense stinks. Stroud's not that good. And he runs basically to move the sticks. I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Patrick Mahomes last week. I'm like, how is he going to move the ball? How are they going to move the ball against Philly? Well, we found out Patty was going to run like Forrest Gump. And that'll probably continue. At least Nico Collins gets it done. Oh, and by the way, I tried. That was dumb. My bad with the Jalen Noel prop. But you notice it's last on the list. So always go in order of priority. I tend to throw out more props than I should because the show's called Prop Points for people who are out there looking for some action. So I put myself in a bad spot. But we did talk about that Hutchinson prop with the grinder Tom Brawley. It hit. Per usual, and you know, if you watched yesterday, we were on agreement with that. I'm like, yeah, this is hitting, and it did. So just yet another example of when Tom Brawley and I are on the same page, you just go with it. But I thought Noel, I just had this gut feeling, a little spidey sense that Noel was going to do something, and he did actually. He was great in the return game. I'm like, can you throw him a bone? You're not getting much else out of anybody else. Jalen Noel's really good. That's a great dynasty buy low guy. Over on the second game, we kind of took a laissez-faire approach here with propage. I did mention that Herbert will probably hit the rushing prop. He did. Now our guy, the grinder, did go with a Marion Hampton. I was not in on that. I understood it. I thought it would hit actually, but it did not. And I did bring up Najee Harris yesterday. So that's a concern. It's a real concern because the carry total, crept upward in week two, as you probably would have expected given the summer that Najee had or didn't have. But Hampton is not getting the love in the passing game. He's a good receiver, and he had one good run, but he hasn't looked that great. So stay tuned. Maybe I'm looking to buy low, but it's not looking great right now. If you have a Myron Hampton, you're not feeling warm and fuzzy. We tried with the Ladd McConkey prop. He made some nice plays. By the way, Herbert missed him on what could have been a big gainer, and we would have hit that at the end of the game. I don't know if you saw that, but Ladd was a little upset. Can't have it all. Quentin Johnston, we did say he had a good schematic matchup, but we also said Keenan Allen didn't, but he scores. But, you know, he's just a baller who gets love in the red zone, quite frankly, because he's reliable, great hands and all that. Not much else going on here with the Chargers. It's Herbert. Looks like we have something pretty special with Justin Herbert in terms of fantasy as he continues to run and has talent at receiver. And you've got Ladd and maybe Quentin Johnson. Well, tight ends this year for the Chargers. And unfortunately, the Raiders didn't throw to the tight ends yesterday. That's not great. Brock Bowers dealing with that knee. Very concerning because, A, we're dealing with the knee, and he's probably not as explosive, let's be honest. And B, Geno Smith is not playing particularly well overall the last 2 weeks. They're stacking up to stop the run, so that's not great for Genty. So we have all kinds of problems. I wish I took that Jacoby Myers prop. I felt pretty good about that, but I didn't want to push my luck with Myers and the shaky vibes here. We didn't have enough time to catch you up on your news and notes. There's not a ton going on here. Justin Fields looking real iffy. Mike Tomlin saying that Joey Porter is questionable at best. Chris Rodriguez will be back in the fold in the DC backfield. Oh, this is a big one for the Bears. Jalen Johnson likely to miss the rest of the season. That's not good for the Bears D. And the Commanders signed Chase Edmonds, formerly of the Bucks. So he is probably going to be the Austin Eckler guy. We'll talk with, we'll talk buy low, sell high on the other side. But first, if you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app. Your sports knowledge gets turned into cash real quick. You download the Better app, you pick more or less in your favorite player stats. Then you watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. Right now, the NFL kickoff new user offer still in effect. Free $10, no deposit necessary. They're also giving you $40 for every friend you try to get to try Better Picks. Warriors are only doing this first 2 weeks, so get on it ASAP because we're in week 3. Head over to better.app, that's BETR. Download Better from the Google Play Store, the App Store. Use that promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. Buy low, sell high next.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. I'm John Hansen. We'll talk week 3 actionable data points with our guy Stephen O'Rourke of Fantasy Points and Fantasy Points Data on the other side. But now in this segment, we are out there. We're doing business. Let's do business. We'll do business in the trade market. Buy low, sell high. That is a Seinfeld reference. 30 years, I'm still talking about that show. That is correct. Well, let's get into it. Buy low. Not always someone who is low, but it's someone who will be ascending, if you will. So, in theory, they're low now. Like Matt Stafford. I'm not saying he's particularly down in the dumps now, but Stephen O'Rourke brought it up last week. Dealing, number one, looks healthy, and Devontae Adams is great. He's still awesome. Like, so that is holding true to form, my rule of thumb for aging receivers. Like, you're off the grid in my book if you are 30 and not bound for Canton, basically. But I like the schedule. And by the way, even with Philly this week, I'm not even worried about Philly's defense as it relates to Stafford because he's done pretty well against this scheme. Philly, Indy, San Fran, Baltimore, Jacksonville, New Orleans. I mean, this is good. San Fran, Seattle, Tampa, Carolina. This is darn good for Matt Stafford. So just a couple of rough spots there. Nothing intimidating if you're looking for a QB in a super flex league where you start to, let's say. Not much at the quarterback position. We did have last week Drake May. Good example of buy low, sell high, because we're not putting May on the list this week because value took a big boost here in week number 2. Well, Chase Brown is next up on the list. And this is all about screen passes because I got lucky with a Chase Brown prop this week. I fully admit it. Now, I got hosed for about 6 of them so far this year, but by like a catch or like 4 yards or whatever. But I will mention that, yeah, I did get lucky because I won a Chase Brown receiving prop by a half a damn yard or just 1 yard. I would have lost it if Joe Burrow didn't get hurt. Joe Burrow, Mr. Push the Ball Down the Field, doesn't love screen passes. Jake Browning, though, does. So when Browning played, what was it, 6-7 games for Burrow a couple of years ago, 19.6% of the Bengals' targets came on design screen plays, second most in the NFL. And I think that's very important because Chase Brown, not probably going to crush it running the rock here for the Bengals, but he still dominates the backfield, and he's already fourth at running back in expected fantasy points. That's touches plus targets and all that good stuff. Well, I have someone else on the list that was a late. There he is. He was a late addition, and I'll get right into it. Rashee Rice. And I'll put it this way. If I knew, and I get stuff wrong all the time, but if I knew that there was no pending suspension for Rashee Rice this summer, I probably would have ranked him at 15 overall, and his, which is an early second round pick. It's that dire in KC. So I understand he's out for four more games, but I would set myself up for the stretch run here because, you know, Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown are not staying healthy. Travis Kelce is, he's just not going to do it. So we are absolutely locked in for 10 plus targets per game for Rashee Rice. So I'm looking at, I believe, a 12 point floor and a 25 point ceiling every single week. Like if Rashee Rice suits up, that's 10 points. That's it in this offense when he returns. Also, I'm not against trading for Ladd McConkey. Even this week, by the way, they have Denver. So I like it because maybe the person is worried about Pat Surtain. We can avoid Pat Surtain in the slot often. Then I liked the rest of the matchups here for Ladd. Giants, Commanders, Dolphins, Colts, Vikings, Titans, Steelers, Jaguars. Not too shabby there for Ladd McConkey. I am bouncing around a little bit here. Let's also take a look at Drake London. I mean, the dude is got, I mean, he's not very efficient right now, but he is rolling with plenty of targets. And again, it's not, you know, there's a lot of different factors that I look at, and the schedule is a big one. And I really did like the schedule here for Drake London. Maybe not this week, by the way, because he'll see a lot of J.C. Horn, but D.C., Buffalo, San Fran, Miami, New England, Indy, Carolina. I mean, none of these defenses are very good in the National Football League, quite frankly. Something's got to give here because I'm not seeing a lot of dominant defenses. New Orleans, the Jets, Seattle, Tampa, Arizona, LA Rams. Maybe the scoring will, in fact, be up because, like I said, something's got to give. I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of, like, shutdown defenses, basically, in the National Football League. How about Bill? Jacory Kroski-Merritt, who I actually found out he calls himself Bill from the old, I think it was Nickelodeon's 90s show, Little Bill. Which I used to watch Little Bill with my son. So anywho, Little Bill, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, he has only played two snaps on third down. They just signed Chase Edmonds, by the way. They're working out all kinds of dudes. Dimitri Felton, who is a former receiver. So clearly they're looking for that Austin Eckler role. So that's not going to be Bill. But I think we are looking at 60, 70% of the early down carries, though, and he looks good. Second in yards per carry thus far. Fourth in yards after contact per attempt among 36 qualifying running backs with at least, I don't know what that criteria is, quite frankly, but it's probably like 20 carries or more, or snap-ins and all that. But yeah, Jacory Kroski-Merritt, I think the arrow is pointing upward. Here's a couple dudes that are, you know, you're going to have to be patient. RJ Harvey, Trevion Henderson, I still like them. Interesting to note that Ramondre touchdown was a play that was for Trevion. Trevion crushed it in practice, but for whatever reason, they ran it with Ramondre and it hit. Here's a weird one that I don't, there he is. He's on the list too. Caleb Johnson. He's like running back infinity right now in terms of scoring. The dude's got like, what is it? Two carries for -1 yards. I have more yards technically rushing right now in the NFL than Caleb Johnson. But I just think that we're not getting through the whole season with this backfield. We're just not. They drafted him for a reason. They need him. Aaron Rodgers needs him. So on the low end, I think that's a sneaky one, as is Isaiah Pacheco, because they do have some pretty good matchups where I think he'll get volume. I know he doesn't look good. I don't love him. I never have, but something has to happen here. The Chiefs are not going to have the worst offense in football. Something's got to give, and they're going to have to run the ball a little bit more. Here's a late addition, Jake Ferguson. Over the last 20 games with Dak Prescott, Ferguson averages 7.6 targets and 12.5 fantasy points per game. A lot of insight there. There's a couple of other stragglers that I'd look at, even Hockenson, because there's a chance, I think, that he clicks with Carson Wentz, unfortunately. He did Carson Wentz like to throw to the tight end there in Philly, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz. Quickly, players to trade. Jalen Hurts. I don't have time to get into it, but the offense looks bad. I don't know what Nick Sirianni is good at. Is he just a mascot? Because once we got rid of Kellen Moore, all of a sudden it's static, it's compressed again. I'm not feeling it, so I'd be fine with moving on from Hurts, quite frankly. I'm going to move on from T. Higgins, who does score touchdowns. Not a big screen pass guy. That's going to be Jamar Chase's deal with Jake Browning. Kyren Williams, I threw on the list at the last minute because I thought Blake Corum looked quite good, and maybe he gets goal line carries because Kyren's not that good of a goal line back, and Corum looks really good. He was out there in the second series, and Kyren doesn't catch the ball, so I'd be a little concerned there. Cooper Kupp, I'd be all right. They're only throwing it 28 times a game. Elijah Arroyo's a factor. The rookie Tony Horton looks like a factor. I mean, maybe Kupp is all right, but I don't think he's going to be great. And yeah, Tyreek, Travis Kelce, I'm fine moving on with them. I'm fine moving Harold Fannin because Flacco's not long for the lineup. Let's be honest here. And one more, Roma Dunze. I liked him last week. I played the prop on fantasy points, but he is a schematic matchup guy. You want him against man. Next two opponents, Raiders and Cowboys, having to play the most zone in football, and a lot of zone-based matchups for Roma Dunze, so I wouldn't be adverse to selling high there. When we return, Stephen O'Rourke, but first, the season may have started, but you can still jump on to the VSiN Average Joe concert or contest sponsored by Edge Boost. Each week, you make 7 picks, NFL or college, and the best score of the week wins $50. If you have it, Edge Boost account already, then it's $1,000 free to play. Enter anytime at VSiN.com/Joe. I went a little too fast there, but let's calm down for Stephen O'Rourke. Fantasy points data next with some Week 3 matchup data points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back with this Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Thanks for tuning in, as always. And we go to the guest line, the progressive guest line, every Tuesday, right at this time. Stephen O'Rourke, he is trapped in the data vault. He's a miner. He's data mining for actionable stats and data for week 3 over from fantasypoints.com, Fantasy Points Data on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O. What is up, Steve? Are you ready to rock and roll for week 3? I'm sure you feel better about your Detroit Lions.
Yeah, being able to see the Lions do what they did, it brought back some hope. It kind of showed the theory that, you know, hey, maybe not playing any preseason with 2 new coordinators for your starters, it might take a second for everything to get clicking. And hey, the offense looked in full form and, you know, it was exciting to watch. I still think they have a super high ceiling, so I'm excited for it.
Or maybe the Bears D just really stinks because they're going to be without Jalen Johnson now for a while. And, you know, J.J. McCarthy had one of the most epic debuts and then didn't look good there. But neither here nor there. Let's move onward and upward to week 3. And here's a guy that I was in on, pumped him up on the VSiN tailgate show on Sunday morning and had him on the Friday show. schematics, man. And I wrote that. It's Zay Flowers is Mr. Schematic matchup. And you like it this week against the Lions. I'm sure there's a lot of single high conversation forthcoming.
Yeah, and it's been fun to watch Zay Flowers develop into the receiver that he has. I mean, just going through his tape, the guy just seems to teleport through his cuts and just away from guys, and especially in single high coverage, which they've seen a lot of man coverage, and they just see a lot of single high in general with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. But through two weeks, Zay Flowers has a 45% target rate against single high coverage. He averages 4.87 yards per route run against single high coverage through two games. He has the sixth highest separation score against single high coverage through two games. And Detroit runs this, the third highest single high coverage rate in the NFL through 2 weeks at 68%. They also have the seventh lowest pressure rate and the slowest time to pressure in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, when he's not pressured and he has time to sit around and wait for his guys to get open, because they generally do, he averages 9.86 yards per attempt when he's not under pressure. Detroit's been stingy against the run last year and into this year. I really think that this could turn into an offensive shootout on both sides for both quarterbacks. And I think Zay Flowers is going to be a beneficiary of that. I think he knows how to separate, and he just dominates against single high coverage.
I think if we knew that Baltimore was going to throw it 35 times a game on average, we'd probably all rank Zay Flowers at like wide receiver 13 for the week, every week, you know, like a top 15 wide receiver in the an elite wide receiver two, or maybe even a low end wide receiver one. Let's move on to, well, we've got the Dolphins at the Bills on Thursday. I actually have a best bet that I'm going to pop out at the end of the program already. But the guy you're going to talk about was my second choice. I was eyeballing Dalton Kincaid. I generally like tight ends against Miami. Didn't like the loss of the Hunter Henry prop last week, but Austin Hooper freaking bogarted the targets and the catches and the yards that I was envisioning here. But what do you see with Dalton Kincaid? I mean, are you okay with his usage? I mean, the targets and the catches look pretty good, but I'm still a little worried about that.
Yeah, that's the only thing that like kind of pulls me back on this, but he had 8 catches against Miami last year for 65 yards, which isn't bad. And I just think that Miami's defense has only gotten worse from last year to this year.
Right.
And if you go back to last year, Kincaid averaged a 20% target rate against two high coverage, and he averaged 2.31 yards per out run, which is pretty solid. That I think that would finish out in like top 30 in the NFL for both receivers and tight ends. Miami's been running about 62% two high coverage, which is seventh most in the NFL. And to inline targets, they've given up 12 for 12 so far this year. So they're just getting pummeled across the middle up by tight ends. And then if you include slot targets, which Kincaid is mainly a slot inline guy, they average 8.8 yards, yards per attempt to slot and inline targets, which is ninth highest in the NFL, 82% completion percentage to those targets, which is eighth highest in the NFL. So I just think that despite Kincaid's target rate being pretty low to start the year, and especially against too high, it's only 9%. I think it's a bounce back week for him. I think that Josh Allen looks a lot more to the middle of the field with Shakir and Kincaid. You know, last year they had they garnered 41% of the targets from Josh Allen against too high coverage. He generally liked to look to the slot and in line there. So I think that against a weaker Miami defense, especially with their front seven and their interior pass defenders, I just think that it should be a week where Josh Allen exploits that and looks to Kincaid quite a bit.
And more often than not, because I actually went back and I looked, these divisional foes get into higher scoring games. Now in Buffalo, I think there was one game, was it maybe last year, where the offense kind of died, but generally speaking, we do get higher totals. And I think the total is decent here. What about Kincaid 29.5? Any thoughts on that in terms of, I mean, certainly doable. It's not under 30 yards. It's not scary.
Yeah. And you know, he averaged 32.5 yards against him last year, which isn't crazy. But again, I think that Buffalo's defense isn't that great on the other side. This is a game where Miami could actually put up some points, and it could force Buffalo to operate a little bit more through the air. So I do like Kincaid over that mark. I think that that's a good line for him. I think he should probably hit up towards 40.
Just check, second highest total on the board this week behind Detroit Baltimore that we just talked about. Steven O'Rourke from Fantasy Points Data on the line with us. And well, you've got actionable data on Tyler Warren. My question is, do we even need it at this point? I mean, we have the God-given gift of sight. The kid looks amazing out there. But seriously, the Titans, hey, they gave up a touchdown to the Rams last week, okay? Like their third string tight end. But what do you see with Tyler Warren this week?
Yeah, I think this is a week where he really just continues to ascend and continues to explode and becomes just even more a focal point of that passing offense. Tennessee runs a lot of zone coverage. They're at about 71%, which is top 10 in the NFL through 2 weeks. And Tyler Warren has a 35% target rate against zone coverage, and that's fourth highest in the NFL. He averages 4.4 yards per route run against zone coverage, which is fifth highest in the NFL right now. And Tennessee is kind of struggled against slot and inline targets. They're giving up 8.8 yards per attempt and an 83% completion percentage. And Daniel Jones has been really good against zone coverage. He's been good about taking what's there for him and not forcing anything. He's averaging 9 yards per attempt. It's only on like a 5.7 ADOT, but he's giving his guys the ball where they can get a lot of yak, which is I think perfect for that offense and perfect for Tyler Warren. And he has a 78% completion percentage and an 83.8% catchable ball rate against zone coverage. So I think Daniel Jones has looked a lot better. He looks calm and he looks like he's seeing the defense well. Tennessee doesn't get a ton of pressure. And I just think that Tyler Warren is going to be a target funnel again this week. Cause I think the Tennessee outside corners look really good. Brownlee and Snead have both looked pretty solid. And so it kind of just funnels the pass game towards the middle, where I think Tyler Warren will continue to feast.
And last but not least, Javonte Williams. It's kind of like Tyler Warren. Keep playing overs and starting them until you get it wrong, basically. But Javonte this week against the Bears, who just lost Jalen Johnson, their best corner. What do you see there?
Yeah, he's getting 74% of the carries. I think he's here to stay for right now. I mean, until Jaden Blue even gets some time, I think Javonte Williams is here to stay in this Dallas offense. And he has about 50-50 split on zone man, but on man concepts, he's averaging 6.8 yards per carry and an 86% success rate. Chicago's gotten beaten up on the ground 2 weeks in a row, giving up over 100 yards rushing to their opponent. And Chicago gives up 3.1 yards before contact per attempt, which is worst in the NFL right now.
Wow.
When Javonte Williams gets contacted after a yard, he averages 6 yards a carry. Until I see anything from Chicago that shows that they can stop anyone, I think Javonte Williams goes this week.
Steven O'Rourke, Fantasy Points Data on the X Machine at Call Me Steve O. Great stuff, Steve, as always. And we'll talk waiver wire on the other side. But first, if you know sports, it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app, you pick more or less than your favorite player stats, you watch the action unfold. If your pick hits, you win. The NFL new user kickoff offer still in effect. Sign up today, free $10, no deposit necessary. When you do deposit, you can get up to $200 in deposit bonuses. NBA, WNBA, all the sports. Better is also giving $40 for every friend you refer to Better Picks. Word is they're only doing this for a little while, so share that ASAP. Head over to better.app, that's BETR, or download Better from the app or Google Play Store. Pop in that promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Waiver wire talk next.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment here on a Tuesday, Prop Points on VSIN. I'm John Hansen. We talk waiver wire here Tuesday afternoon, and we request that you not be a lazy lima bean. And work. Go out there and work. Work the waiver wire, of course. Let's get into my top 10 picks Dan Dimes, let's start there. Number one, Daniel Dollars. Why is he only rostered in 17% of Yahoo leagues after week one? I understand there was some skepticism, but I picked him up in the Fantasy Points Dynasty League out of the garbage can, and I'm using him over Patty Mahomes, basically, on the regular. Little bit of a week-to-week proposition, but I have more confidence in Daniel Jones than I do in Patrick Mahomes. I'll say that again. I have more confidence in Daniel Jones than I do Patrick Mahomes, because it is just a beautiful combination of scheme, coach, player, and personnel, of course. Whereas Mahomes, I mean, he's got to deal with Matt Nagy. I mean, just take a look at Matt Nagy. And I'm like, let me say, oh, no, that guy's not any good. That's the way I feel about it. Maybe I'm being unfair, but I mean, I've been complaining about Nagy and the Chiefs for 3 years now, and it's just getting worse. It's not getting any better. But anyway, Danny Dimes. Nice-looking schedule, by the way, the next month. At Tennessee, at the L.A. Rams, Vegas, and the Cardinals. Because we passed that litmus test against Denver with 9.3 YPA. We're looking good with Daniel Dimes. Darnell Mooney, I am the biggest Darnell Mooney apologist outside of his immediate family. But, hey, 51% owned in Yahoo leagues, which means he's a veil in like half the leagues out there, most likely on average. He was quiet in week two, but he had a 19% target share. And look at all the other dudes available in your league and how many of them are proven veterans still in their prime with a huge role. Not many. So I would look at Darnell Mooney, Juwan Johnson. I wasn't totally buying that last week, but I was probably a little butthurt because I've been a Juwan Johnson person in the past. He is a former wide receiver and he looks like it. So he's pretty flashy and he's clearly clicking with Spencer Rattler. Massive role, 96% snap share in both games, 5 catches, 9 plus targets, and 49 plus yards in every game. He is also a South Jersey guy. I'm a big South Jersey guy, so I always look for that. He went to, he's from Glassboro, New Jersey, which is actually the town where I went to college, a little state school there. And he actually went to school with Corey Clement. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, maybe he was, you know, a young kid when I was going to college. No, wasn't even born yet, but that's neither here nor there. He is balling right now for the New Orleans Saints. And you got to give Kellen Moore credit. He has quickly turned Spencer Rattler into a viable quarterback. I'm not saying he's good, but he's viable right now. Someone who might not be viable is Mark Andrews, a.k.a. Mandrews. It's looking quite dire for Mark Andrews. So Isaiah Likely, I mean, pick him up. They only have one ball. They've got a lot of receiving threats, but he gets high leverage looks, and he does a lot with a little, making big plays and scoring touchdowns. Last week in this spot, we did say that Elik Ayemanor was a guy who had number one wide receiver qualities, and he was on my target list all summer, again, because I thought, okay, I've had enough of Van Jefferson, and no offense, Tyler Lockett is obviously on the back nine here. Let's get this guy, Ayemanor, on the field. He is good. He may not be a burner, but he's a prototypical one, which projects very well and complements Calvin Ridley on the other side. So it's happening. And he's only rostered in 8% of Yahoo leagues. You also have that rookie mojo with the quarterback Cam Ward, who I thought looked better last week. So, you know, he has got upside. Like, this is what you're looking for, a guy with a large role who's got the talent and pedigree to be a difference maker. I mean, again, Ayemanor may not be a stallion, but he's good. You know, if you put him in the NFL 20 years ago, he'd fit right in, quite frankly. But we still need sizable receivers here and there. Troy Franklin is not that sizable, but I've actually met him. He's, I think I'm 6'2", so I think he's probably 6'1". Nice kid. I liked him and Marv Mims this summer, but I neither one of them were on my list because Sean Payton is a tad fickle. But it was the Franklin show in week two. 83% of the snaps. He's got a lot of juice. Play with Bo Nix. I did interview him at his combine. I thought he was a pretty smart guy who had some football intelligence. So I'm thinking, like, I could see Sean Payton, you know, really becoming enamored with Troy Franklin, basically. And he will definitely if he continues to make plays like he did in week number two. Wandale Robinson, not a guy I pumped up this summer, but, you know, when I did my top 200 cheat sheet, I went back and I looked, and I had him 45 spots over his ADP because he's got a large role. And I've always been a Wandale guy. He's currently wide receiver 7 in scoring. So that's better than solid. Malik Nabers, of course, is the man, but they need a second target. It's not Theo Johnson. It's not Darius Slayton. It's Wandale Robinson. Jake Browning at quarterback needs to be on the list here. I think I may have not added him. There he is. Okay, there he is. I'm going a little out of order, but he is squarely in the top 15 quarterback conversation nowadays. 20.7 fantasy points. Ice cold off the bench, final 37 minutes last week. He actually averaged 12.6 rushing yards per game a couple of years ago when he filled in for Burrow. 267, by the way, passing. Like, as much of a Burrow person as I've always been, I mean, certainly Browning is not going to push the ball down the field like Burrow, but I'm not sure they have the protection to consistently do it with Burrow. So is there that much of a drop-off from Browning to Burrow? I mean, there is, but it may not be precipitous in terms of the drop-off. We got Minnesota, Denver, Detroit, Green Bay. That's tough, though. That's a tough run of games for Jake Browning. Also, Romeo Doubs, I know it's a little annoying, but we got thinned out a little bit in Green Bay with Jaden Reed out, so that does help. He does not get a lot of targets, but again, high-leverage targets, downfield throws, end zone throws. He did score last week. Also, for the right now, Hunter Renfro, I mean, it's pretty obvious, Bryce Young peppers his slot receiver like he did with Adam Thielen and like he did with Hunter Renfro in this game. I actually played an over prop. It was like 23.5 yards. He crushed it. So, yeah, I'm not expecting him to hold value all year. But if you need immediate PPR relief, Hunter Renfro, I think he can supply that. And if you are looking for a long-term play, like Jalen Coker has got plenty of upside. Like, I wasn't in on him this summer, but now I am because Adam Thielen was traded away. Oh, and Xavier Leggett is not good. So I thought Leggett might improve. He has not. So I like Coker for a long-term play. I'm still going to throw Kayshon Boutte on my list here. He did score, and he did lead them with a 72% snap share. A couple of names here that probably aren't on the list, but I would pick up Tajay Spears, even though he's got two more weeks, I think, right? Pollard is getting the ball, but he's not doing much in the passing game. I like Spears. Calvin Austin, I still like him. 92% snap share last week. Marcus Mariota, if you have to dig deep, he will produce in that offense like he did last year. And then I still haven't given up on Josh Palmer. We are up to the end of the program. All we have is a best bet to pop out, and we'll do it right now. GBank. It's brought to you by GBank, and it's built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is opened with the GBank Visa signature card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you 3-5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. The best bet. We did hit this last week on Tuesday and Wednesday, I believe. We hit them both. So we'll pop it out in a second. But coming up after we sign off right here on VSiN, it is Money Moves at 2 p.m. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel. Today they'll be joined by VSiN managing editor Adam Burke with a sharp betting analysis. And Jay Morrison provides insight on the Bengals after the Joe Burrow injury. Jay Morrison, a Bengals beat writer. Well, here we are. Final seconds. I'll pop out a best bet for Thursday Night Football. It is Khalil Shakir, over 41.5 receiving yards, minus 113. His last three games in this matchup, Six targets, six grabs for 105. Five targets, five grabs for 54. Seven targets, six grabs for 50. He is the man over the middle against a zone-heavy defense, so I believe he'll come through. Khalil Shakir, you're welcome. We'll catch him on Yana with another edition of Prop Points.